Genesis chapter 45. Draw your attention especially to the verse 9, though we will refer to other texts in the chapter. But verse 9 is a good verse to highlight. Joseph says to his brethren, "Haste ye, go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not." Joseph's commission to his brethren. Joseph's commission to his brethren. Joseph has made himself known to his brethren. He has told them to come to him. They've been very alarmed that it's Joseph and he's alive, because conscience has gripped them. But he's told them to come near to him. Verse 4, "Come near to me, I pray you." And he comforts them. He is gracious to them. And he manifests his forgiving love to them and assures them of their reconciliation to him. And you have a great picture of that there in verse 14 and 15. "He fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him." And so there's this reconciliation. There's this renewal of fellowship. There's this wonderful story of the reunion and the reconciliation of Joseph's family. And in the same moment as he is reconciled to his brethren, he gives them this commission. They have enjoyed reunion with Joseph, and now their father must as well. And not only their father, but their wives and their children, and their children's children, and all the families. These brethren have enjoyed the reconciliation and the fellowship with the living Joseph, and they have had plenty, and they've had the protection of his shelter and of his wings. And now Joseph commissions them to go and get the rest of the families and to bring them to him in Egypt. And of course, that's another fitting picture of what our heavenly Joseph does to his people. The Lord Jesus is called the brethren of his people. He's called the elder brother. You remember how it says in the Bible, he's not ashamed to call his people brethren. "I will sing thy praise in the midst of the church and in the midst of my brethren." And you remember how the Lord Jesus said, he said, "Verily in the last day," he says, "that he'll say to many, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me." So we who are Christians and are saved are the brethren of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been reconciled to him because he has reconciled us in his grace. We have been troubled by our sins. We have offended him and grieved him. And we wondered whether he would receive us or not. But he sought us out and he found us. And he reconciled us to himself and he loved us. And he kisses us and he comforts us. And we can talk and commune with him as the brethren talked and communed again with their brother Joseph. But not only does he give us this fellowship, not only does he give us the enjoyment of this reconciliation, there are others who are to be brought into the fold. And our Lord Jesus gives us a commission. Similarly to this, Joseph's commission to his brethren and the Lord Jesus Christ's commission to us, his brethren, they're very alike. There's parallels, there's similarities. And there's a foreshadowing here of the great commission. Even the going out among the heathen into Canaan and the bringing in of other souls into the fellowship of Joseph. And so let's consider then Joseph's commission to his brethren, exploring and examining the similarities and the types and the images of the great commission to the church of Jesus Christ. First of all, we want to point out that the aim of their mission was rather simple. It was a very simple, straightforward mission. Now, I'm not saying it was an easy one. It was going to be a difficult mission. It was no doubt going to be beset with many, many problems. Not the least, Jacob had to be persuaded that Joseph was alive. He had to be persuaded to come down to Egypt, and that in itself was going to be no doubt a difficult thing for an old man who for 20 years has believed that Joseph was dead and who has lived all his life in Canaan. It would not be an easy job to get him down to Egypt. I'm not saying the mission was easy, but what I'm saying is its aim was simple. It had one objective, and it's declared to us in verse 9, "Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not." And then again in verse 13, "Ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither." It was a simple mission. It was to get his father to Egypt. It was to bring Jacob into the presence of Joseph. That was the commission of all their brethren. And Joseph gives them the words to take and to bring with them. But the aim, this is what I want to emphasize first of all, the aim was simple. It was straightforward. Everything else was secondary. The primary mission was to bring the message to Jacob and the family and get them to come to Joseph. One objective, one aim, simple, straightforward. The Church of Jesus Christ has one aim. It has a simple commission. It has one objective. And every believer participates in that one mission, that one objective. Those reconciled to the heavenly Joseph have one primary purpose in this world. It's the reason we haven't gone direct to heaven and straight to glory. We have an objective and a purpose, and it's been given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the mission to get sinners to Jesus Christ, to bring the message, drawing men and women to the Redeemer. The church has a mission. Its mission is simple, as I've stated. It's not the mission of the church to make itself acceptable through society. It's not the mission of the church to lower the standards of God's word and make society happy. It's not our mission to please the ungodly or to appease the wicked. It's not our mission to engage in politics. It's not our mission to socially improve society. There may be those effects that come out of our mission and our work, but that's not our primary objective. It's not to worry about our image. It's not to go off into bypath meadows and go on to some other ideas and other aims and other objectives in life that have only any importance in this world. Joseph's brethren had their mission carefully defined for them. And they knew what they had to do, and they knew what they were about, and they went about the job of doing it. Bringing Joseph's message and getting Joseph's family to him. The problem with many churches today is they do not know what they are about. They've lost the vision of mission. They're trying to improve society in other ways. They're trying to conform to the world. They're trying to win people to themselves and crowds to their buildings. Our aim is to get the message clear and plain and simple that they have to come down to Jesus Christ. It's to get men to Christ. And we must never lose the vision of mission. Remember John the Baptist? He had a collection of disciples around him. But whenever Jesus passed by, he said to his disciples, "That's the Lamb of God. That's the Lamb of God. Behold him." And we read that two disciples, when they heard him speak, they followed Jesus. They came to Jesus and followed him. That's the mission of the preacher. Not to draw men to himself. He can lose people. He can decrease. But it's a job of the preacher to say, "Behold the Lamb of God. Follow him. Get to him." And John lost disciples in calling them to come to Christ. And those disciples who heard John speak, that followed him, we're told in the Bible that Andrew was one of them. And what did Andrew do? He went and found his brother Simon. And he did the very same thing. We found Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. You know the story. That's always been the story of Christianity from its infancy. Seeing Christ, following Christ, being reconciled to Christ, and then endeavoring to draw others to Christ. So the mission of the church is a simple one. Very simple and straightforward. And then secondly, in this commission, they are supplied with the very words to say. They are to bring Joseph's words. Joseph's brethren were in no doubt how they were to go about that mission. First of all, they had to go to Jacob. Verse 9, "Haste ye and go to my father." And then they had to bring Joseph's words. "Thus, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not." They were even given the words. They had to bring Joseph's words. And not only did they have to bring Joseph's words, they had to go with haste, as we'll see also in verse 9. "Haste ye, tarry not." So the commission is clear of Joseph to his brethren, and the instructions are plain, and they're given even the very words that they have to tell Jacob. Brethren and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ has left us instructions every bit as clear as that. There is no doubt as to what we are to say to men and women, because he's left us his words. We have the Bible. "Thus saith Joseph." You tell that to my father. It's from my mouth. You have it there in verse 12. "It is my mouth that speaketh unto you." Tell my father. It's Joseph's mouth. It's Joseph's words. Bring him my words. And whenever the ascension, the Lord Jesus gave the same instructions. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." My words, Father, I've given them my words. I'm going to leave them soon. I'm going to go to you, my Father, to be with you. But they're going to remain, and I pray for them. But I've given them my words that they'll bring to the others so that they'll come into the fold. Because there's others that haven't come in yet. And I've given them my words. And the commission of the church is plain. It's not the minister's job to make up imaginary wee stories and be eloquent and bring in Shakespeare and poetry and show himself a real eloquent man of literature. No, it's all here. All that the preacher needs is here. It's all here. Give them my words. It's from my mouth, the Lord says. We have to go to the people and say, "Thus saith the Lord." It's not my word. I can't change it. I can't adjust it. I can't bring in something else that might make it more palatable to you. This is the words of the Lord. This is the way it is. Go and preach the gospel. Bring the words of Christ. That's the commission of the church. It's plain and simple. Now, it's not easy to do in practice because there's opposition and there's the devil. There's all kinds of warfare and battles, not only outside the church with the wicked, but there's battles against heresies and leaven even within the church. Not simple to carry out, but it's simple to understand. We have to bring them the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. In your witnessing then, brethren and sisters, it's not your philosophy and your imagination that you use. It's the Lord's words. Thus saith the Lord. Don't fall into the trap of thinking we need the word of God plus something else. The church falls into that trap. We need something else. We need the bounds. We need the entertainment. We need other things to come in to draw the people. No. The message. If the message doesn't draw them, they're not coming to Christ. They might come in for the other things. But it's only the message that the Holy Spirit uses to get them to Christ. And that's what we're to do. We're to get them to Christ. We're not to trick people into making a false profession. We're not to give them any false picture. No, we're to tell them plain and simple. You have to come to Christ. You need a Savior. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. You have to get to him. There's every encouragement to get to him. But you have to get to Christ. And so we have to tell the people that. That's a commission. We're to use the Lord's words. And this business of the church just requires the same haste. Haste ye, Joseph says. Don't tarry. Haste ye, tarry not. Time is fleeing. Souls are perishing. Haste ye. The king's business requireth haste, and certainly our heavenly king's business requires haste. We have to tell people, not waste their time in other matters, as it were, and get caught up in this and that and the other. They're to bring Joseph's words then. Thus saith Joseph. They are especially to make prominent Joseph's invitation. You'll see there in verse 9, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me. Come down unto me. This is the invitation of the gospel. This is what Joseph says. Come down to me. I'm the Lord of Egypt. I have all of the provision. Get to me. Come down to me. And that's the very heart of his words. The very heart of this glad tidings that Jacob's going to hear about the living son. The message is to be delivered with a hearty invitation. I'm sure that Joseph's heart is overflowing when he sends out this message. What a big heart he must have had. Oh, you can feel the emotion. Go and tell my father. Tell him to come down unto me. Tell him not to tarry. Don't be tarrying. My father Jacob, tell him this. And we're to tell sinners the same. It's a hearty invitation. And they're not to tarry. They're not to delay getting to Christ. Don't tarry. Come to me, Christ says. We're to tell them that. That's the essence of the message that we bring, isn't it? We preach Christ crucified, slain but risen and alive, and he calls you to come to him. He's a living Savior. That's the way we're to preach. So that the Lord Jesus appears as one very present and real and living and alive to them, and they hear his message in the Holy Spirit, and they're drawn to come to him. Men are to preach Christ, living, alive, and calling sinners
to himself.
And so the essence of the message is, come to me without delay. That's what sinners are to hear. You need to come to Christ without delay. And sinner, you're hearing that message again this morning. You've delayed too long. Delay no more. Tarry not. It says it in the text. Our heavenly Joseph says it. Tarry not anymore. Come on to me. It's the heart of the gospel. And the ambassadors of Jesus Christ are to go out with that message. And the minister is not to be a great personality and a very funny clown so he can attract all kinds of people to himself. The minister who attracts people to himself is only attracting trouble. The minister's job is to attract people to Jesus Christ. That's the minister's job. And that's the church's job. And that's your job as the brethren of Jesus Christ, to attract men, not to your great funny ways and your very warm personality, but by your holy life and godly example and your scripturated words. You're to attract men to Christ. That's what you're to do. Gospel preaching should also be hearty. Joseph, whenever he gave them this message to bring down to his father Jacob, he expected them to deliver it with the same heartiness with which he gave it. With the same feeling, with the same emotion, and not with a cold stone heart. Gospel preaching, brethren and sisters, itself should reflect the heartiness of Jesus Christ. It should be warm. It should be living. It should be emotional. The preacher's not to stand like a robot and just give out a cold, formal statement. No, he has to drink in the words of Christ and feel the warmth and the energy of the words of Christ and have the same heartiness that Christ has. And receive those words with the same heartiness with which Christ gave them to us. And as best as he can, through the help of the Holy Spirit, to deliver the very same words with Christ-like heartiness. So he doesn't expect his brethren to go down like robots. He expects them to go down as brethren of Joseph, with feeling and intensity, and to appeal to the man and say, look, Christ wants you to come. He's a hearty Savior. And you're a poor, needy sinner, and you're just the right candidate for my Savior to change and transform. Won't you come? Won't you come? Come down. Come down, Jacob. Come down, our father, Jacob. Come down to our brother, Joseph. Come down. Gospel preaching is to be hearty, warm, emotional, especially the making of the invitation, thus so. But not only is there an invitation, there's every encouragement to come down. And the Lord doesn't just say, come to me. He gives all the encouragements and all the incentives. And that's what Joseph does as well. He says, go to my father, say unto him, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. They are to tell what God has done for Joseph. They are to tell of the position and the glory of Joseph. You see it there in verse 13. Ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and all that you have seen. Bring down my father hither. There it is again. Don't delay. Go and get him. Tell him what you've seen. Tell him of my glory. Tell him what God has done to me and what God has made me in the land of Egypt. This is in order to remove Jacob's doubts about coming down to Egypt. And notice that he's not only Lord, but he's Lord of all Egypt. And he has glory, great glory.
And the brethren are not only to tell of Joseph's glory,
they're to leave nothing out. Tell him of all my glory. Tell him of every bit of it. Leave nothing out. Everything you've seen, everything you've experienced, everything that you've witnessed, all that you know, you tell Jacob, my father, of all of my glory.
And brethren and sisters, that's why we have such a big Bible. Because there's so much to tell about the Lord.
And we are to tell of all the Lord's glory. We're to publish His grace and His glory. We're to publish His lordship and His kingship over the world. We're to say He's ascended up into heaven and He's alive and He's sat down at the right hand of the Father, and the Father has given Him the glory of all the universe. And He said, sit thou there, my son, until I make all thine enemies thy footstool. Tell them of my glory.
And that's what the Christian church does. We are eyewitnesses of His glory. We believe the revelation of the Word about His glory. And we tell the world of His glory. They mightn't believe it. And in fact, they won't believe it until the Holy Spirit opens their eyes. But we'll still have to tell them. Our commission is very, very simple, isn't it? Preach Christ crucified. Preach Christ glorious and reigning. Oh, that's the delight of the minister. One of the delights of the ministry, it has many burdens, of course, and many things that would cause a man to run away from the office, but its chief delight is to tell of the glories of this Lord. All His glory. As Christians, we can say, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. And as Christian ministers, we can say all that thrills us is to be able to tell and talk of His glory. These boys weren't to go down with their own wee story. Their glory. And what they did in Egypt. And how they did this to Joseph. And how they exercised this. They're not to go down and talk about themselves. Tell him of my glory. Paul summarized it ever so well, didn't he? We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. He's made me Lord of all Egypt. Tell him of that. That's what we do. He is Lord of all. All power is given unto me, he says. Go ye into all the world and disciple the nations and teach them my words. And all that I've commanded you, you give that to them. That's all we have to do. Very simple. Church doesn't have to get bogged down in this and that and the other. Very simple. I don't know why churches give themselves headaches with all the things that they endeavor to do. We just have to disciple the people and give them the words of Jesus and tell them about the power of Jesus on the right hand of God and expect that He will give us that power as we engage in their discipleship. And that's what happens here every Sabbath. We're discipling you. And you're endeavoring to get others in to disciple them. And you're not putting them under any false illusions. Come in, you get a great cup of tea, and you'll get all this and that and the other. And we'll fill your house with a new set of tea. And we'll give you all kinds of charity. No, no. We're in the business of calling you to Jesus Christ. And if you don't want that,
You'll not be here long. We preach Christ. And men and women, if you don't want to come to Christ, we've nothing else for you. You'll find it all out there. We exist as the ambassadors of Jesus Christ to tell you of His glory, that you may get to Him and have a personal experience of Him kissing you and embracing you and being reconciled to you and you being reconciled to Him and enjoying the fellowship of Jesus Christ, which we all can do as a family here in this house. We are here, I trust, because we are loving and enjoying our heavenly Joseph. And so they're to tell of Joseph's glory. And they are to show Joseph's provision as well. All these wagons have gone down. All this provision. They're to bring the wagons down. And they're to say to Jacob, as it were, look, Father. Look at all the provision that He's brought down. Look at all the tokens that He sent with us. He has so much for us. He can meet all our need. He can provide for us. He can give us shelter. He can give us protection. And in this terrible famine, He can nourish us and refresh us and revive us. And they brought the wagons down so that his doubts would be banished. And in actual fact, if you read the end of the chapter, you'll find that when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, his spirit revived. It revived. And believers are to tell sinners and to tell them of the provision. We have a couple of wagons. One is baptism. That shows the provision of our Christ. The waters from above, the mighty Holy Spirit to come into our lives, to purify us and to cleanse us and to sanctify us and to apply the blood of Christ to us. The baptism, the token, the wagon that tells of all that He has for us. The wagon of baptism. Then the other wagon is the Lord's table. He sends the tokens, sends the wagons. And we can point the people to the wagons, to our baptism and to our Lord's Supper and our Lord's table. They can't partake till they get to Christ. They have to go to Christ for the partaking of the real provision and the actuality of the thing. But the wagon's here for them to see. It's here every week as you come in, sinner. This table is doing remembrance of me. He's provided for us the forgiveness of sins. He's provided for us a righteousness to cover us. He's provided us a salvation that is everlasting. He's provided us all that we need to get safely to glory. It's in the wagons. And the wagons are just tokens of all that He has for us. And that everlasting salvation. And we are to show Joseph's provision and to give the invitation. There's so much more to say, men and women. I just quickly give you remaining heads. They were given exceeding great and precious promises to proclaim. And not only does the Lord give us the invitation and the description of His glory and His words and wagons and all the tokens of His provision, but He gives promises as well, and Joseph gave promises. He says there, for example, in verse 10, "Thou shalt dwell, thou shalt be near to me. I will nourish thee. It's my mouth that speaketh unto you." I'm only highlighting a few words. Pause at every word. "You'll dwell with me. You'll be near to me. And I'll nourish you. That's what Jesus Christ says to you, sinner. Come. Come. You'll dwell with me. You'll be in my presence. You'll have my company. I'll be near to you, and you'll be near to me. That's what we have as Christians. Oh, the joy of the nearness of Christ and being able to come into his presence just by bowing our heads. And I'll nourish you. Whenever the famine comes and it really bites and crunches into your soul, I'll be there. I'll be there to nourish you. These are exceeding great and precious promises. The Lord has given us these, brethren and sisters. I exhort you to pause at every phase here. And to hear your heavenly Joseph say the words, I'll nourish you. And then they're not to fall out in the way. That's interesting. Verse 24. He sent his brethren away and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. Joseph knows his brethren. He knows them. He knows what they're still capable of. And he says, don't be falling out and fighting among yourselves. He knew there'd be the possibility of recrimination and blaming one another and falling into this bickering about what they'd done to Joseph and to their father. And the blame game was a real danger to their commission. And brethren and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ gives us a commission, but you know, he also knows our hearts. And he says, see that you don't fall out by the way. Don't be fighting among yourselves. There's not a real danger to the church. Does not hinder our commission. Does not cause problems for the congregation. If there's fighting. Well, if I have to fight and bicker and fall out among ourselves, what's going to happen to the commission? We'll lose the vision and we'll harm the mission. The Lord Jesus didn't only command his disciples in this commission. He says, love one another as I've loved you. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. You know, if a fight and bicker and argue and get on, we might as well not go out there. Because the ungodly aren't going to be drawn. That's a fighting church. They're nothing but troublemakers in there. Why would I go in there? And people don't think we're the disciples of Christ. Because we fight among ourselves. Wouldn't that be an awful thing? Get your eyes on the aim. Christ. His glory. And getting men and women to him. We have our faults and failures. But we can't fight and fall out by the wayside. We have to keep our unity. We have to maintain the unity of the Spirit. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And thankfully, they were obedient and successful. Because it says there at the end, verse 25, at the end it says, they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, Joseph's living. He's a governor of all Egypt. They delivered the message. They obeyed the commission. At first, Jacob's heart fainted. He didn't believe them. And then they told him all the words. They left nothing out. Every word. They declared the whole mind of Joseph. They held nothing back. When he had said unto them, and then when he saw the wagons, he revived. And he said, it's enough. He's alive. He's living. It's a reality to me now. I can see it. The wagons have persuaded me. The words of Joseph, as you have testified of them, have won me. It's revived my heart. It's quickened my soul. I have to go and see him, the living one, before I die.
before a day. Oh, men and women. You have to go to Christ before you die. Before you die. Don't delay. Let his word win you. Let the wagons throw you to Christ. Christ alone.